Hi, folks. Welcome to the MenV podcast. I'm Jared Reimer. It has been a while since we have done a program here on the MenV network, and I am pleased to be a part of and release a program I think you all will be interested in. This program was a telephone conference held on May 31st, 2014. It is hosted by Sandra Geyer, who is on our roster, and her contact information is sandrageyer7@gmail.com. That's SANDRAGAYER, the number 7, @gmail.com. We talk all aspects of Braille, from music to literary to foreign language to the new UEB. It's not relatively new, as some members in the world may already have it, but it's new here in the U.S., and it was a topic of discussion. Sandra will give you some introductory material, and then the conference, and then her contact information again at the end of the program. I hope that you will enjoy this program as much as she had putting it together and allowing participants to participate, and she hopes to have another one out soon. In the meantime, I hope that you enjoy this one, and thanks for listening.
Hello, I'm Sandra Geyer, and I'm delighted to welcome you to the first ever edition of Braille Line, a Braille teleconference hosted by me, Sandra Geyer, and it was held and recorded on Saturday, May the 31st, 2014. The views expressed during this conference are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Braille Line. The language used during this recording may not be suitable for all ages, and discretion is advised. Now that I've said all that, I hope you enjoy listening to the conference.
My name is Sandra Geyer, and I'd like to start by thanking you for coming, for taking time out of your days. There, I've got everyone covered, whether it's morning, afternoon, or evening, because you've all taken time out of your day to come here and listen to me talk, so I appreciate that. And I'm going to start off by just giving you a brief overview about myself, in case you don't know anything about me, and then I'll head over to answer a few emailed questions that people wrote ahead of time, and then I'll answer a few common questions that I've seen on different Braille-focused listservs. Then I'll open it up to questions from everybody in here. And then after that, I'll talk about a social global project I want to get started with other people's help. And then I'll wrap up. So I'm Sandra Geyer, and I'm a soprano singer. And I'm a presenter with Insight Radio. I present a classical music program on Monday nights. And I'm also a Braille teacher. I specialize in Braille music. However, I do know an awful lot of other Braille codes, English, French, German, Italian, Spanish, Latin, computer Braille. I could go on and on and on, but it's quite boring to have a shopping list like that. Okay, so first emailed question I have is about French Braille. So the question talks about beginner French Braille. A person wanted to know that they've been studying Braille in their 70s, or since the 1970s, doing grade 1 Braille, and wanted to know about beginner grade 1 books that they can go through. And that question is from Sandra Streeter, and I know you're here tonight. The short answer is yes, there are a number of books, but the more detailed, precise answer is to definitely inquire at your library and explore the books yourself, because different books do say they're uncontracted, and then it turns out they do have some French contractions in them, and vice versa. So your best bet is to explore the different books. And some books, especially if they're textbooks, will have a list of contractions they're going to use, the common contractions in them. So, for example, vie est bien, vie est vous, vie est par, all that sort of thing. I teach French as well, and I could certainly give you a couple of lessons to get you going so you wouldn't be held back by lack of knowledge of the Braille code, so you could just read any book you liked. I'm just going to go to the next question I had. Yep, this one is from somebody in China, and their concerns were about Braille transcription, and the abridged version of their email talks about the fact that there aren't any Braille music transcribers in China. And my theory is actually there probably are, but they're not advertising themselves as well as they might be and communicating with the people who need to know about them. And this person is saying that international transcribers' rates are comparatively quite high, and they also have issues with memberships of international organizations, which I won't name here, but they wanted to know what to do about that. Now, there were some transcribers who are going to come onto the line tonight who aren't here, so I'll just have to answer on their behalf in saying that a lot of transcribers on the internet do have a lot of free resources as well as the paid transcription service. So there is a pool of downloadable items for people to sample, so that is a good advantage. And also make use of your own library. I can't say that enough to different students, especially when I start with people, they don't tap into their libraries enough. So that's one thing definitely to do. So that's my emailed question. So I'm going to open it up now to people who have any other questions from the floor.
You say about libraries, but I mean, if you take our old National Library,
They've
got rid of pretty well all their foreign language books. All they have is the odd course. They don't have, for instance, they have nothing to do with French Grade 2 Braille available.
That's true. They do have beginner books, but there are
I've never seen any beginner books as such. All I have seen is an abrégé course where you send in exercises. They're all in Volume 1, and Volume 2 and 3 are extracts which you have to read aloud and record on cassette and send back to the Paris place.
Well, there are a number of different worldwide libraries that do have international library lending. And NLS is no longer part of that scheme, so that the Washington Congress in America. But there are still a number of other libraries, particularly in France, Germany. Denmark is another good one. And Amsterdam. So definitely get in touch with the NLB and ask them to get in touch with some of the international libraries. It's one of those organizations where you won't actually get what you're looking for unless you ask very, very specific questions.
Well, there is a digital French library called AOL, which is now a year old, and they do books either in electronic braille or in audio, and you can join that for free, which is what I've done.
Brilliant. That's fantastic.
I can send you details about that whenever.
Yeah, and then I can...
My only reservation is that in the Braille versions of any books, the words are hyphenated in the middle of a line for some peculiar reason. I just can't understand. I haven't been able to work out how many cells a line they work on in the first place, but if you're reading a 23-cell line on a 32-cell display, you get all sorts of funny things.
Oh, right, yeah. I was going to suggest maybe if you have an embosser or if you know someone who has.
Well, it's not worth the bother, is it? It's not worth the paper because you only read it once, are you?
Well, you might want to read
That won't help. The hyphens will still be there. You won't get rid of them.
Yeah, but it'll be easier to get the context within the page so you're not having a single line experience, so you're able to read down the page, you're able to use one hand to read one thing, one hand to read the other, unless you're more of a one-handed
writer. Oh, no, I'm a two-handed person, absolutely.
Oh, good. So you're able to utilize that, because it's much easier to get a sense of the whole page if you are using both hands, and you're not using one hand for the advanced bars and another hand to read with. And even if you have got a long line on the Braille display, it's still tricky. Which leads back to one of the common questions I've neglected to answer, and I see a lot on the dedicated listservs about reading speed and what people can do to increase their reading speed. And the short answer to that is basically read lots. Read a lot of Braille. Also strengthen the sensitivity in your different fingers. I know a few people, and I include some of my own students in this, who choose to read with either one hand or maybe one finger on each hand. And the key to that is to basically practice reading with different fingers and strengthen the sensitivity in them. And that will definitely help with the speed because you're able to read more than one cell at a time. But going back to what you were saying, Jim, about beginner French, and I'll open it up to different languages as well, is not just the international library services, but different bookshops in the different countries, because I had to do this myself when I was studying different languages, you know, French and German and whatever. And this country just did not have, A, the books, or B, the resources to Braille the books in the time I needed them. And I knew perfectly well that the particular country, let's say France, had the correct books in Braille. It was just a question of getting hold of them. Now, with that, you do need a certain amount of linguistic skill, which I did have and still do. That's easier said than done, I know. But if you don't have that, anyone who's listening to this who isn't here and listening to the recording, if you don't have that skill, there is a number of things you can do. Either find someone who does, who can phone around the different bookshops for you, or get enough vocabulary together in said language so you can actually conduct a very specific conversation along those lines in order to get the books you need. So that's certainly something about that. There was another question that people do ask a lot, and I've forgotten what it is, so it'll come to me when I'm not concentrating on it. Another thing that I do see people skirting around is the question of tuition, and the barrier some people have tends to be around cost and technology. With cost, people seem to assume that teachers have a set rate. There is a website I have seen, I won't name, but does have quite a high rate per hour, so it's around $125 upwards an hour for Braille tuition. So it's really Braille music, but it's talking about other things as well. And I don't want anyone to feel that that is the going rate, because it isn't. Most teachers, if you ask them, do have varying rates and offers and different things they can do. And you won't find out really unless you ask specific questions of them, and decent tutors will actually be fairly flexible around that. Another barrier sometimes people have is technology. So various teachers have advertised themselves on Skype, and I include myself in that one, advertising about Skype. And you don't necessarily need Skype, and you don't need electronic Braille equipment, although all of that stuff helps and it makes it a more luxurious experience. You know, you can learn from a Perkins Brailler on a phone, as we're here in this context now. So that's definitely not something that should hold people back if they're thinking about getting tuition. So if there's any other questions people have before I leap astride my social hobby horse.
I just find the whole you know, foreign language aspect of Braille interesting. I've taken some Spanish, but I don't know much more than that. So it's interesting to see how Braille's written in different languages.
Yeah, it is, definitely, in terms of the contractions different languages use and how sparing they are with them. So, for example, with English, it's very all or nothing, or has been. So you've got, you know, grade one in English, and then you've got grade two, which is everything. French is
yeah, and then you've got grade three, which is more of everything, which I've taken some of.
I took a grade 3 course, although I don't remember it, but I took it. I found it fascinating.
Do you use any of it in your day-to-day Braille reading then? Have you seen it in any books that you've read?
I have not seen any grade 3 in any books. I have not used it in day-to-day. I just, when I was in L.A. At the Davidson Center, I forget the actual name of it, it was supposed to be for independent living, but they taught computers and Braille and such. Of course, I knew it all. So after I could prove to them that I know it, the Braille teacher actually gave me their text of grade 3 material, and I actually sat down and rewrote their list of contractions, which they said I did a much better job than they did of rewriting it all.
Well, that's certainly promising for you. And what I was going to say is English is far more all or nothing. French is a bit more steepled. So you've got 5 grades in French. So you can actually work your way up gradually and not be either completely desolate or bombarded with things.
What about other languages like German and Italian or Japanese or any of these other
Japanese, I can't comment on. Because I don't speak it or read it. But German is as involved as English Braille is. There's a lot to learn, so it's not just a question of accents, because with Italian and Spanish, what you've got to remember is the accents, so the signs over letters, over the vowels, which make them sound slightly different. So you've got growls and acute and diaresis and all that kind of thing. But that's all you need to remember with Italian and Spanish. With German, it's like English, where you've got different contractions as well as the accent. So you've got contractions for EI and IE and OU and EU and all those wonderful things in German. but then it starts to merge with the actual language. So unless you're learning the language, which is another thing I do with people, it's not going to make much sense. So you'd really have to be learning the language at the same time. So with Italian and Spanish, you could get away with learning the code and then pick up the language.
I was just sort of curious on how all that was, because I've probably seen some French maybe, but I mostly see Spanish Braille, mainly because of my involvement with Braille Book Review, although I don't speak it, but I can read enough of it to, and I did take a little bit of Spanish until I had to drop it because of my other academia, but
okay.
I got to learn a bit of Spanish Braille in the process.
Well, that's good. Very, very, very good. I was going to bring up the topic of UEB because I know that that's very
I was hoping to say don't bother.
I think it's dreadful. I'm glad I'm on my way out. I really am. I think it's an insult to the intelligence of the Braille reader.
All right, now hold on a
Can
second.
I say something in its defense before I...
I know it's more computer friendly, but that's no excuse.
No, well, I have serious questions about it, but...
Okay.
Because
I'll answer them in a minute. I just want to say something in its defense, which I never thought I would be doing in a million years. But I do see the point in a way, because it does mean that there will be some unity between the countries which speak English, and there will be a greater flexibility with being able to lend each other textbooks for schools and things.
Yeah.
Anything that promotes unity.
What happens to the old books?
Definitely.
The hundreds of thousands of old
books. Wait a moment there.
No, I'm dead against it. I think the dropping of 9 contractions and the way they code foreign accents is absolutely ridiculous.
All right, hold on a second. Because I've seen I've never seen the text, but I did see some websites and bookmarked them for Unified English Braille Resources and UEB project information, which I could send everybody. And I read them, and I still don't know what the hell has changed. And, you know, the United States was really some specific
resources which tell you exactly what has and hasn't changed, because I did have some emails from transcribers who were asking about it and concerns because they have customers asking about it and didn't really know.
Because the Braille sense supports it, and I switched it to that mode just to see how things read, and I really don't know what's changed, and I've never seen any text in it, but yet, you know, the BANA just, what was it, a few months ago, sent an email. I'm on their email list.
For those of you listening and said, you don't know, BANA stands for the Braille Authority of North America.
Sorry, I should
have... Yeah, carry on, yeah.
I should have clarified that.
Yeah, that's fine.
Banana.
Well, we won't explore that one.
sent an email to their email list saying, you know, on this date we adopted UEB, and I'm sitting there calling Richard in U-Haul. You know, Richard's the Braille Music Division chair of the Music Education Network for the Visually Impaired, who I'm in this conference on their behalf. But, you know, I called him up and said, what the hell are they doing? And what's changing? And he's like, I don't know. And it's like, we're going to adopt something that nobody knows anything about. I've never seen any text, although I did see stuff that said we could contact them and they could send us, you know, stuff in the mail for free, you know, basically samples of what things are going to look like, and I never took advantage of that.
If you visit, and this applies to everybody who is here and who isn't here, if you visit www.brailleauthority.org and root around on there, you will definitely find resources to do with UEB, and that includes some examples of text written in UEB. I have to say that I've read everything, and it is fairly cumbersome to read, especially text in different languages from the UEB standpoint, because as Jim alluded to it earlier, the accents are no longer part of the letter. So if you've got e accent grave or something like that, the grave is a specific sign, and that will happen before the normal I.
And all the accents are preceded by dots 4 or 5.
Exactly.
Yeah, all of them.
You've got longer to read the same things you would have done in the previous era.
Imagine a word like répété, for instance. It takes up half a line.
It's a lot longer now than it used to be.
And also the abolition of 9 contractions, alliation, double D, COM, into, by, o'clock, BLE, and I can't remember the 9th one.
Now, by, I could see them getting
rid of. There's 2 as well. You missed out TO.
Oh, 2, that's what it was, 2 and into,
but you're doing my job for me. Well done.
I actually wrote a sentence containing all the obsolete contractions for the RNIB. And there we are.
Well, you know, there were lots of other contractions which were abandoned years and years ago, which I still use, like .5G is God.
Couldn't agree more.
There are lots of them which were abandoned a long time ago.
But you're not going to read TUM 4 for tumbled, are you, in 1,000 years?
No, not if you're experienced.
And in UEB, you're going to have tumbled with the ED sign at the end.
Yes.
And you're not going to read O'Clockallahan for O'Callaghan, because you've got a capital before the C in Callaghan. So, I mean, why drop O'Clock? You know, there's no rhyme or reason about it. It's just ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It's been done by sighted Braillists who haven't got a clue.
Well, if you want my honest opinion, and people may electronically shoot me for saying this, I think sighted and Braillist cancel each other out. But anyway, it's not as bad as it could have been. They could have cut a lot more than that. And I feel that what they're trying to do is not only unify the different countries, so you have got a sense of cohesion between British English Braille, American English Braille, etc.
Yeah, but no one was consulted over here, were they?
We had
examples about four or five years ago, but since its introduction, or just before, we've had no vote, like we had on capitalization, for instance.
Another argument for it is that it may help people with complex needs. So we're all sitting here and you know, damning it to hell, but there may be some people who have more complex needs than we have. So not necessarily just sensory needs, but intellectual needs.
And you know,
as well.
And you know what bothers me about this too. Besides the fact that I was consulted mainly because I was on the BANA list and never took advantage of it. That was my own doing. But how about the other people who were never even consulted? I mean, if they weren't on BANA's email list like I am, you know, they would have never known they were working on it, and they wanted comments, and of course I had been too busy back then when they wanted comments, and I didn't really know how to go about doing it, because I didn't just want, you know, Braille showing up at my house for no apparent reason.
Well, there's a lesson to us all in this, in the sense that it really does pay to pay attention to any of the literature we get in the posts about Braille and all the radio broadcasts we hear if we are in touch with different radio programs which are sight impairment focused. So there's a number of programs in this country. There are various programs in America, in Australia, lots of things going on. And it does pay to keep your ears open. So nothing is too small. And Braille music gets shaken up a lot more often than English does. But one thing I do with my own students when I finish teaching the sort of basic Braille code that they need to know for day to day, like if they're getting transcriptions done, I do make a very important point to teach the old Braille signs, because I can't remember who said this earlier, but old books aren't going to be retranscribed on every whimsical change in Braille.
No.
I mean, I could bore everyone half to death with a number of different changes which have taken place over the last 50 years. And there are books, especially Braille music, and I'll stay with that because that's my favorite subject. I have read books which were transcribed and probably rebound, but transcribed in 1918, 1920, and you just know that you know, recent changes are not going to touch those books. And, you know, different countries and different libraries don't have the time and resources to just re-braille books for no reason. You know, when you've got people, especially people like myself, I'm in my mid-20s, and you've got other people in older age groups who've been brailing for an awfully long time, they may not necessarily be affected by UEB on a day-to-day basis. I think that the only places... If you let me finish... The only people who will be affected, and it's a pretty big only, are definitely students in schools and colleges who are getting books brailled now and who are getting exams in Braille. And so that will definitely create a huge impact on their learning experience. But my advice to transcribers listening is, unless customers specifically ask for it, and there will be customers like schools, for example, schools and libraries and colleges, who will want to comply with the new regulations, who will ask for this. Unless private customers specifically ask for UEB documents, do not switch to UEB as a matter of course. Do not do that. Because Braille is fairly bulky as it is, and a lot of the changes which have come in have only made that worse. For example, the accents and the abolition of the different contractions, which Jim very kindly told us about earlier on. So that is not going to be a selling point for Braille, unless you feel that the client has complex needs and would appreciate UEB more than they'd appreciate, you know, grade 2 Braille or grade 1. I mean, there is always grade 1. Where UEB does work quite well is maths. I think it does.
That's what my understanding was, is that when they do math textbooks, that's where it will more than likely shine, because you don't have to drop your numbers necessarily like we do now.
Well, I mean, I never really dropped them in school. I know you're thinking of NEMIS when you say that.
Yes. I'm fluent in that too.
And I actually like the drop numbers. I like this.
My bigger question is, you know, a lot of us have gone to school, graduated, you know, whatever, in the 60s, 70s, 80s.
Indeed.
You know, I graduated in 2000. I went to school and learned Braille in the mid-80s. How the hell are we going to learn this new code when, you know, they're adopting this without most of everybody's knowledge, and then, you know, they're going to receive documents and they're not going to know how to read it because they don't know what's changed or anything, and they never, you know, I just think it's a bad deal.
You know yourself as a disabled man that in order to survive we have to grow and change with the world we live in. There's not a lot of point saying that. We've got to actually learn how to cope with it and do it just like we do with any other thing in our lives as disabled people. You know, there's a ladder there, this is terrible, there's a ladder there and I can't get past. You find a way around it with your cane, do you not?
Right.
Yes. So, the first thing we have to ask ourselves is when we're going to use it. Now, unless we're in school or college or taking a course, we're not really going to come across it in our day-to-day lives unless we're actually in an arena where a lot of new Braille is coming into our life. So your question about, you know, people of your own generation who've taken Braille in the 80s and don't feel you could actually adapt to this new situation, ask yourself whether you actually have to. You know, are the books you want to read, are they being published now and going to be Brailled now, or are they older books, you know, before you start getting worried about it. And another thing I will say,
I mean, I wasn't necessarily worried about it. I was just asking, you know, how are we going to, I mean, are they going to develop, you know, courses for us to take, like through Hadley in the United States or through some other agency, you know, in like your part of the, you know, in your area or even in another country?
There is,
you know,
a big volume primer available. You can get that from BANA, the Braille Authority of North America, and you can look at BrailleAuthority.org.
It's also online as well.
Yeah, the RNIB have a hard Braille copy of it that you can get. Okay. I would recommend that. I'll definitely post a BRF list of signs, missing signs as well as the newly introduced ones, to the MenVy list as well as the Braille dedicated list, so Braille Music Chat and Music Talk. I think there's another Braille one there somewhere. So I will post that as well as where I got it from. So that will solve that one. There is, as I say, a 6-volume book available online and in hard copy Braille. And I would recommend the hard copy Braille book because I had immense problems trying to download the BRF version of this primer, because it opens directly on people's computers in text instead of BRF, and then you try and rename it as BRF, which is what I was instructed to do by the Perkins School for the Blind, who I contacted. And that still doesn't help. It still has $$$#$ instead of
BRF. If you get it from Australia, you're better getting it from Australia, in actual fact.
Okay.
And you'll find it'll download straight, because I think I've got a copy. But it doesn't deal with
Vision Australia, Jim.
Pardon?
Is that Vision Australia?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm familiar with them.
Yes,
but what
so
you
am
do
I with
is
a radio broadcast.
Yeah. So what you do is you hit Shift F10 on the link and select Save Target At or As or Save Link As, and it will it'll look at the link. It'll go, oh, this is a this file you want, and it'll prompt you to
download that. I tried that, and it wouldn't do that on my computer. I was also told to do that, but it didn't work.
Because that's the instructions I give out on Menvi's site to download, the articles we have in text on our article discussion page, as well as if they want to download the HTML files of our newsletters, they could do that too, if they don't want our logos. But
well, on the Braille Authority's website, I know from my computer it definitely didn't do that, regardless of how many times I pressed Shift F10 or the applications key, it didn't work. But there is a number of examples of UEB written in English, in French, in maths. It's got simple maths and it's got some more advanced maths, so more scientific calculator stuff, which I would be happy to post on the Menvi list and Braille Music chat for anyone who wants to read them. And they will be BRF. And I'd recommend that people get the hard copy volumes of this if they really want to and they really want to learn it.
I was only asking
I'm just saying all that for the benefit of the people who aren't here and who might be listening to the recording afterwards,
right?
Who are maybe thinking about UEB and how it's going to affect them. So there are ways
now
ways
are these books going to need to be returned back to BANA or wherever we get them from, or they're ours to keep?
You can purchase them. You can purchase the primer, and it's very cheap. And another way of getting through it is to basically ask a Braille teacher who's familiar with it, like myself, or like any other Braille teacher who's taken the time to kind of strip it down and make it easy for people. Because it will only take literally one or two sessions to basically get someone familiar with everything that's involved. And I'll just reiterate what I said to transcribers who might be listening, is unless you're dealing with schools and colleges who really want to comply with it. If you're dealing with private customers, don't just switch to UEB as a matter of course, because you'll find people will prefer either grade 2 or grade 1 Braille. So unless anyone has any more questions, I'll go into the project I want to start over the coming year with everyone's help.
I think having this type of discussion so that people can hear, the pros and cons of UEB are good, and they can, of course, inquire to you or Transcriber or BANA even for more info if they choose. I think that was kind of cool.
Yeah, and I'll say again, to get in touch with your own libraries, regardless of which country you're in, there'll definitely be, a Braille library to refer to. So if you're in America, it's NLS. If you're in England, it's NLB. If you're in Australia, obviously it's Vision Australia. The South African Library for the Blind is definitely really good, and it covers quite a lot of Central Africa. And there's a library in Beijing which covers a lot of China. So there's a lot going on for different people. Cool.
Cool.
So the project I want to start, we'll start campaigning for, I don't know when I'd actually be able to implement it, is under the auspices of Braille Line, and it involves me teaching 30 children from developing countries, teaching them Braille over the phone like this for nothing. And that's something I want to start campaigning for, and I just want to get the gen from people to see if people would mind helping to spread the word about it in terms of campaigning and funding for it and stuff like that.
Is this going to be literary Braille, music Braille, math?
Literary Braille, yeah. Just basically learning to read. So, either teaching them or strengthening the Braille support they already have, or if they're not going to school, just basically giving them a leg up there.
I think that sounds kind of interesting.
Okay.
Now, what is it going to be their language of Braille, or are they going to be learning English?
Well, they'd be learning English because that is definitely the key language they'll need to know if they want to progress in... I mean, I'm thinking about, my own country when I say this, because I'm a Zambian person originally. And, other countries other developing countries, you know, English is definitely a language of choice and status and things, so that goes without saying, really. So just wondering what people have any thoughts on that.
Well, it strikes me that unless they go to some public centre, the people who, children who don't know Braille, wouldn't have phones available necessarily.
Let alone the funds to call down to London from whichever country.
I missed what you said there, Jared, sorry.
Let alone the funds to call to London, because for me to call London...
That's what I'm saying. I want to get funding for it so they wouldn't actually have to pay anything for even the call and stuff, because my own conference line, I can dial out to people, so they won't actually have to pay anything.
It's worth circulating probably, you know, on, well, say Inside Radio or even In Touch, if they'd wear it, but... Well, they're very fussy In Touch, I'm afraid.
Do I feel another?
And they don't. Braille hardly ever functions at all. I mean, if you're a totally blind In Touch listener, you don't get very much out of the program, I don't think.
Oh dear, I was right about that forthcoming rant. No, I did think about Insight Radio because I do work with Insight Radio. I present a program with them. I'd just be a bit worried about a possible conflict of interest between that and the RNIB, because the RNIB do have paid courses for Braille and...
Well, the RNIB, they don't bother with... I mean, they made 10 Braillists redundant in 2010, which is criminal.
I did hear
and,
about that, yes.
They have done other things. They're cutting... Several of their Braille transcription centres have closed down, apparently.
Yes, they have. That's reflected in some of the costs they have to
and
members,
all, and
originally
in
Braille was free to members getting it transcribed. You do pay a certain amount now.
And I think they spent £2 million on embossers and can't don't know what to do with them because they haven't got the work or the capacity to use them all. Apparently, it was
they could sell them on as second-hand products.
Well. So the RNIB is now...
I think there's plenty of Braille projects to do.
But it's now more and more of a campaigning organisation rather than a champion of Braille, as it said it was in 2009 in the Louis Braille bicentenary year. But since then, things have been going downhill. We have one eminent Braillist who was brilliant, who just died. It's Claire Wilson. It's very sad. And she really did champion. But now you get... Say, even the invoice. I had an invoice the other day where all the words, many of the words were written unspaced from each other, and another one where the word in was written in grade one.
You know, we don't even get Braille invoices.
They don't care. They just don't care anymore about Braille, the RNIB. So I forget those signs.
I do notice that a lot of people do say that Braille is dead, and got to remember that people who are saying that do have a vested interest in saying that because of the, you know, electronic futuristic products they sell. And when I posted about what I was doing tonight, and I had a lot of letters from different people, and I can attest that Braille is very far from dead. So I was quite touched by that.
I mean, they're still producing books. I mean, if Braille wasn't dead, we wouldn't be getting hard copies, and UEB wouldn't be in this discussion now, would it?
Exactly.
Well, I think we're doing your best to keep it alive, but they're very...
It's very, very much alive.
Just,
it's
UEB
just how it's
just
being used has changed. So there's much less of the leather-bound book. We're seeing a lot more BRF and web Braille and robo-Braille and all these kinds of things. It's just changing.
And this way people can emboss it if they want. They don't have to spend the money to emboss it if they don't have to.
No. That's true, but they do have to have some kind of Braille display machine, and that's a fair amount of money in and of itself.
And we even got people on Menvi who want to, you know, read Braille music on their note taking devices, and it, you know, it's like that's not practical.
It is.
I mean,
I should be doing it in choir tomorrow.
Yeah,
I'm singing in church.
It is a lifesaver sometimes in BRF. If you're fast enough at reading, you can do that. It is practical. It's not always as comfortable as reading a hard copy book, but you know, I use it in some situations. Let's say I'm learning a host of songs, and some of them I know I'll never use again. I'm certainly not going to memorize.
But I see the point in having it this way, so that if people want to read it with their note taker, you know, whichever note taker they happen to have, assuming they have one, they can. Now, I'm not against learning with a note taker. I think that's kind of cool. It's not going to be aligned.
You could do better you could do really well, Sandra, to approach the National Lottery with your project.
I thought they only really help charities, and I'm not a charity. You have to earn £5.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't matter. I mean, the point is that they would love that idea because they do help overseas people.
Okay, it's food for thought. I've heard a lot about the National Lottery recently funding very big things, and mine isn't a very big thing. I've been pretty good at sorting out the cost of what it would be, or the minimum cost, and it's certainly not huge, which is nice. And I'm thinking of starting a crowdfunding campaign for it. And the key to successful crowdfunding campaigns is momentum, which is where I need to basically see how many people would like to either give some money to it or would mind kind of putting it on their social media rings or whatever. I'm very behind on the whole Twitterati thing.
Yeah, Twitter, Facebook, you know, LinkedIn.
I still don't know how you'd find the children in the other end, you know. This is the problem, because it's going to be a double thing for them to learn Braille and to learn a foreign language at the same time.
Well, the thing is, you know, I'm not teaching people from scratch. Unless it was absolutely necessary, but it's basically to strengthen the Braille support they've already got. And sometimes they don't have any. Sometimes they've had, you know, a bit and don't have any more. There will be some basic English. And I'm not completely averse to learning languages myself, so I wouldn't worry about that. But I do know various organizations I could get in touch with about finding kids, and there's a plethora of kids who could really do with learning some things, and I know about things from an offline perspective as well. So that's my plan.
Very good.
Well, my theoretical plan. And I did have a think about another situation where transcribers could get involved with a sort of global pool of things they could be doing, because questions I've had from other people who are in different countries outside the auspices of England and America and Australia and New Zealand, apparently unless you're a resident in aforesaid countries, you can't access membership to, let's say, the RNIB, for example. Unless you're a resident here, you can't really access that, and then can't get the sort of transcription perks you get. So another thing I was thinking about was trying to create a sort of pool of sort of transcription services.
Oh, good morning. This is Saji.
Oh, hi. the conference is nearly over. There is a recording.
Just so that I'm going to make sure that I did not see something incorrectly. Because I feel like I really did want to be a part of your conference. And
okay.
So what might have happened here that the information was misinformation?
You'll hear the recording. So you'll be able to hear it, exactly what went on during the call.
When will that be available?
That will be available at some point next week.
Okay.
So I'll be posting that to a couple of Braille focused lists, and you know I'll be writing to people to ask them, you know, if they want the recording. So I'll be sending a public link from Dropbox that will be accessible. If you'll be able to hear the lively debate, and also you'll be able to hear about a project I want to get started. It's a global social project that I want to involve other people with, which involves me wanting to teach 30 children from developing countries how to read literary braille for nothing.
Yeah. Okay. I'm still confused.
Well, the conference basically covered, you know, aspects of braille. She answered some email specific questions dealing with French and other languages. We had a discussion about the UEB and its
pros and cons
implications.
And then she covered
her project, and that's basically what you're going to hear in the recording.
Okay. Oh, good. I'm looking forward to hearing that then. Okay. Well. All right. Well. Again, I'm sorry.
You've got a nice voice.
Yeah, you do. Very nice.
Thank you. Well.
So which language do you specialize in, or do you teach multiple languages?
I specialize in English. I also speak Spanish, and I also speak a dialect of the Pomo tribe. So I just, and I'm hoping to, here I don't speak any of the languages. I know a little Hawaiian, and I know, about three words in Samoan.
What about Braille languages?
I'm sorry, sir, what?
Which Braille languages do you teach?
Braille languages. I teach English, standardized English right now. Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. I about 30 years ago, I got to see a whole page of Chinese, and
wow,
it was fascinating. It really was fascinating. Then I got to see some Sanskrit, and I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. And then of course Spanish, and then I got to see Japanese. And it wasn't different from Chinese, but I can tell you that what I remember from this is from 30 years ago, by the way, the Braille is extremely close, really packed, and
all
so
right.
It's like I thought, wow, where's the top and the bottom of the page? You know, you really couldn't tell, you know,
right.
And it was fascinating.
I got a letter like that yesterday, but that's another story. It wasn't because it was Chinese; it was because someone's embosser might have been on the blame group. Just the braille was was about pinpoint thin. It really was a trying experience. But reading some Chinese would definitely be an experience.
Have you heard the sound of the blind Japanese pianist called Nobuyuki Tsuchiya?
I have indeed, yes.
Because he doesn't use braille music.
Yeah, I found that a bit disappointing, really. I mean, I can see why.
You lose a lot in translation because I never heard him interviewed by a really good English speaker of who speaks Japanese, and what he said or what he was that the fag of having to learn all these concertos and things from Braille makes it too slow. So he has a team of pianists who record chunks of the left hand and chunks of the right hand.
Yeah.
And spread chords and all the rest of it to make it easier to hear. And he learns it all by ear.
Yeah, I mean, I've learnt piano music both ways. And personally, I prefer Braille.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more.
The amount of rewinding and fast, miss it. What was that? It just makes it much easier to just read it first time and play it. But I do understand his point where because you're having to, you either have to teach yourself hand by hand. So there's no immediacy with it. It's much. There are more steps involved when you're reading it from the Braille music. So what I used to do.
Oh yeah, but then you do get
read with my left hand, read the right hand, and basically play the right hand at the same time.
You've got more. You know, you've got all the dynamics there and everything, haven't you? And all the phrasing is brilliant. Whereas you know, I think he misses out on that.
And the fingering.
I think he misses out. I really do. Marvelous
well,
as he is.
He's not doing too badly for himself, considering.
No,
I mean,
well.
I'm a singer. My first instrument is singing. My second is piano. And singers, we really can get away with murder, even if we are blind people, because we can read and sing at the same time.
Yeah.
Now, you don't have to worry about the Braille music necessarily in singing now, do you?
Sorry? What do you mean?
You only need to worry about the words.
Well, what I
would
do
is, you want to be.
I would memorize the words and sight sing the music.
because when I did choral, I was never given music. I was just given the words, and then I followed it based off of that, and then memorized the words.
Well, if you were fortunate enough to just be learning tonal music, then that's not too bad. But if you're in a chorus with a conductor who's very experimental and is wanting to expose the chorus to modern sounds, and you know, it's all very atonal, and the syncopations and rhythms, and also I've been in productions where you are not just singing, but you've got to walk and do various interesting physical things at the same time, and you really haven't got any mind to be listening out for the music, and you've got to be on the beat or off it if the score requires, and you know, you've got lots of people singing, and so when I was in productions like that, I was extremely grateful for the Braille copy. Braille music is your best friend.
Absolutely.
In those situations. But I am very lucky that I'm a singer and not a first-study pianist, because I would have definitely not enjoyed myself as much, because you've got to memorize everything. I mean, I know lots of pianists who accompany me who don't memorize anything. They just read the score, and their eyes are constantly fixed on it, and they play the piano, and I start talking to them about piano, and you know, they're quite incredulous when I tell them to memorize things. They're like, "Oh, that would stress me out." So it everyone is different, but you know, if you're disabled, you've got to really fit with what works and grow and change and evolve.
So who, if you don't mind, who all is right now here in the conference room? I know my name, and you're Sandra. And is it Sandra?
Yeah, but there's another Sandra here, Sandra Streeter. And there's Jim Taylor, and there is Jared Reimer.
Jared Reimer?
Reimer.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm from the website Music Education Network for the Visually Impaired at menvi.org.
Okay.
We network music transcribers and parents and educators and so forth together. They answer questions and such that people have in regards to learning pieces or difficulty in schools and such on our list. It's free to join, no cost.
And you're not required to be a member of that organization.
You can read the journals and articles and such without being a member.
Yeah, good. Okay. So are all? I'm just curious about Braille music.
Yeah.
Is it still? Is that going to be changing with UEB? Are they going to be
using
new symbols?
No. UEB is Unified English Braille.
Braille music is
another. It recognizes a different Braille language altogether.
Yeah.
So same as French Braille and German Braille, that they're not changing.
Okay.
Computer Braille
isn't
changing as far as I can see.
Oh,
Unified
okay.
English Braille is English Braille.
Yeah, okay. And then the other Sandra, where are you from, Sandra? The other
Connecticut.
Oh hi. Okay. And then the other gentleman, where are you from?
Stockport.
I'm from LA.
Oh, sorry.
So we've got Jared Reimer from LA, and we've got Jim Taylor in Stockport, which is a place in England.
In England, okay.
And
okay.
I'm also in England at the moment, and I work and live between England and Ireland, and I'm originally from Zambia and Africa. So I've got lots of countries all rolled in one crescent.
Uh-huh. Wow. Interesting group. How cool. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I'm a soprano singer, and I present with Insight Radio. I present a classical music program with them, and I'm also a Braille teacher, which is what we're doing here. I mean, I specialize in Braille music, but you know, I know a host of other Braille codes, including English, French, German, Italian, Spanish, Latin, computer Braille, math Braille, science Braille.
Now, is the computer
Braille code? Sorry?
Is the computer Braille code in let's say London and so forth the same as we learned it here in the U.S.?
No, it's not.
Is that all uniform?
No.
It's not. Oh.
No.
What is different about it?
Well,
I mean, from my point of view, I look at it in the context of the different machines I'm working with. So I probably wouldn't know the English one because I've used sort of American products like the Braille Note, like the VRF stuff I get sent
out. But you can change to English on the Braille, or English on computer Braille on the Braille Note if you so wish.
You see, that's what I was saying earlier about growing into these products. I mean, I've been using a Braille Note and Braille Light before that for at least, now I think about it,
well, the Braille Note's brilliant.
A good 9 years, and I'm still learning all the electronic gadgetry and magic tricks you can perform with them. I mean, I only learned that it had a stopwatch about 2 years ago.
Wow.
Well, the Braille Note's an amazing machine.
I know.
That is an amazing device. I remember remember the Braille and Speak?
Oh, God.
Yeah. I still have one.
I know people who use it.
Do you really?
I know.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
The Braille and Speak.
One's actually died, and they don't really want to call Humanware because it's so out of date. They probably don't know if they need a new charger or what it's going to cost or anything. So they're like stuck.
Jerry, I can tell you a story about that. There was a friend of mine put his Braille and Speak in the drawer, and he forgot to switch it off. So when the cleaner came in later that night, a voice said, "Hello." And she thought, yes, she did. And she sent for an exorcist next morning.
Oh, no. And did the exorcist actually use incense and stuff, or did he do a sensible thing like open the drawer?
A sensible thing like open the drawer, yes.
Okay.
Anyway, I'll have to go now, because it's my wife's birthday today, and she'll think I've run away or something, and that will never do. So it's been most fascinating.
Nice to meet you.
And
likewise.
I'll,
it was lovely to hear all of you speak, because I've been talking to all of you via email and lots of other people, but I've never heard any of you guys speak before, so
The two Sandras and the Jerry, we could have sing a quartet, couldn't we? You know, if we had the parts
available.
Well,
I'm a soprano, so that's not going to work. We need an alto.
I've done some tenor, so me and Sandra can hook up and do some work, right?
No, it was a thought, though, isn't it?
Wow,
we could have a virtual. We could be like Eric Whittaker. He had a virtual choir going at one stage.
Have a Braille anthem, couldn't we? Like compose a Braille anthem.
Oh, God. Yeah, the National Federation. I think they've done various anthems. I liked their one about canes. I can't remember the tune of it, but it was really interesting to hear about. To hear the whole thing just basically be fun and interesting and how dynamic a cane is, basically. And it was basically ode to cane, I think, or something like that. I'm going to wrap the conference up now. I'm going to thank everyone for coming, because you've all taken time out of your day to be here, and I really appreciate that. And
well,
you never know, I may have another one.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Bye.
Yeah, this has been a lot of fun. We ought to do this again sometime. I think a Saturday afternoon should work fine.
Yes. Brilliant. Okay, I'll wait for everyone to toodle off, and then I will close the line myself.
I hope you enjoyed listening to the first ever edition of Braille Line, an international Braille teleconference held and recorded on Saturday, May the 31st, 2014. The resources mentioned during the conference will be posted on visual impairment-focused listservs as follows: MENVI, Braille Music Chat, and BCAB. If you still have unanswered questions about the Braille codes discussed during the conference or other Braille codes not mentioned, please contact me via email address sandragayer7@gmail.com. That's sandragayer7@gmail.com. To view my email and other contact details, please visit my website sandragayer.com. Thank you very much for listening.